So as you know, this morning we began a new emphasis dealing specifically with church planting, and you saw that video. And, you know, I'm so excited about what we're going to be doing over the next month and a half with different planters coming in from different parts of the state so you can get a feel of what God is doing in North Carolina. And what is exciting about that is that we've got guys coming from the mountains all the way to the coast to share with us. And we're going to finish up with my cohort who works with me at Send and See, who's going to be coming in and sharing with us on the final day. So we're going to have just a blessed time over the next several weeks. And so I kind of want to do a little bit of a hybrid this morning, if that's okay with you all. Say that's okay. I'll say it a little louder, just so I know.
That's okay.
Okay, there we go. I'm going to do a little bit of a hybrid this morning in our sermon, and I'm going to do a little bit of Mark, kind of setting up where we're going, because I think this is so appropriate for where we are this morning. So, and I know we did this last week, so I'm not going to step on Charlie's toes. I'm going to take a different angle with Mark chapter 2 to set up where we're going over the next several weeks. Everybody okay with that? All right, amen. So let's open up. We're going to read a very familiar verse because it's going to be kind of what we saw last week, except we're only going to go through Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 this morning, okay? And so let's begin there. This is very familiar because we did this last week. And it says, "And when he returned, being Jesus, to Capernaum, after some days it was reported that he was at a home. And many were gathered together so that there was no room, not even at the door." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I'd love to have that problem, right? You know, pause, sidebar. We live on the island here at Emerald Isle. We worship on the island. And if you happen to just go around on the island on a Friday or Saturday night, every restaurant, every bar is full. Full. I mean, there's places you see people just parking on the streets. They're parking wherever they can to get in there. And it reminds me of this scene, except all for the wrong reasons. And it breaks my heart because on Sunday mornings or whenever churches meet, that is not the case. And so verse 2, it says, "And many were gathered together so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching," Jesus was preaching the word to them. "And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him." Imagine that. "And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic laid. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their heart, like so many of us do when we mumble and murmur, grumble. And they were questioning in their heart, "Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them, so that all were amazed and glorifying God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." And maybe that's why the world fills the bars instead of the churches, because they haven't seen anything like this. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning, Lord God, on the heels of this worship that we have lifted up to you, Lord God, and it was sweet, may you be sweeter this morning in your word to us, Lord.
I pray that we would hear from heaven, not from me, from heaven, Lord God, so that we would have godly revelation that would, Lord, move us closer to you, move us into action for you, move us to be a church, Lord, that does more than plants churches that are churches, but plants churches in our hearts, in our communities, in our homes, wherever we are, so that you are glorified and people would come and say, I've never seen anything like this. That's my prayer this morning, Lord God. So make your word real in our hearts this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we all agreed and said, amen. You can tell I haven't preached in a few weeks. You guys are in trouble. Now, I don't want you to answer this out loud, but I want you to think about this right now. What is the one thing in your life, the one thing in your life, if it were fixed, that could just change everything? Everybody's got something in your head just popped up, didn't it? It's the one thing. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you're having problems. I don't know. Maybe it's money. Maybe you're having all sorts of financial difficulty, particularly in the economy that we live in. Maybe it's another relationship, and you're going, man, if I just fix that relationship, everything would be fine. That thing, if it were fixed, could change everything in your life. Maybe it's your career. You're like, man, if I could just keep going up, 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 up. Maybe if I could just have that big windfall. Maybe if I just get the right lottery ticket. By the way, Christians shouldn't play the lottery. Maybe it's a relative you're having a problem with. Maybe it's your health. I can relate with that. Man, my foot is on fire this morning. I'm hurting, but it's okay. We all have problems. Can we all agree on that? Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, I got an amen. That's right. Even the most successful people in the world have problems. Celebrities. Maybe we just miss it, or maybe we're so caught up in the celebrity that we just don't see it, but they've got problems. And the book of Mark has something to say that really challenges us when it comes to problems. You see, it reveals, when we look at this chapter, what we just read, it reveals that our problems, whatever they might be, they're just symptoms of one big problem. They're symptoms of one larger problem. And you know what that problem is? It's our broken relationship with God the Father. That's what it is. And if we can fix that, that would change everything. Everything. Now, there's some of you, I would guess, in here would reason to say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. All my problems are the results of that one big problem. Are you serious? Everything else that's wrong in my life is a result of that one issue? And to that, I would say, yes, it is. Let me show you what I mean. Follow along with me as we look at verse 1. It says, as Jesus returned to Capernaum, and as soon as words got out, the crowd of people came. They grabbed themselves into the house of his friend Simon Peter, his first disciple, right? They came to hear him speak. Then something really surprising happens in verse 3. Some men, four of them specifically, carrying a paralytic man, came in and they were trying to get to Jesus. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. They said, if we could just get him to Jesus, it would change everything. If we could just get him to Jesus. But they couldn't because of the crowd. And so what do? They get on the roof. And they start tearing it apart so that they could lower him right over Jesus. Can you imagine that for a second? Someone is so desperate to get to Jesus that they'll do anything they can to get to him. They'll break down the walls. They'll speed. They'll outrun the troopers. They'll do whatever they got to do to get to Jesus. And this is what these four men are doing. And they start digging this hole so that they can get to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. Has anybody ever been in a room where the roof caves in? Anything like that? The closest that I can think of is upteen years ago, taking the youth to Marrow Mountain in tents. And it rained cats and dogs for days while we were there. I mean, it was terrible. There was a stream just down the way from where we were camping. I thought, boy, it's going to come up here. We're going to be in trouble. I remember I went to go check on one of our youth who was in a pup tent. And so much rain had got inside his tent. He was sleeping on an air mattress. It was floating inside the pup tent. I thought, he's okay. We'll just anchor it down. He's all right. But and then our girls' tent was last second. I said, girls, don't put anything against the edges. If you put anything against the edges, it's going to collapse. Okay. And sure enough, I come out at 2 a.m. and guess what? It collapsed. Ah! They're screaming. Thank God for duct tape. But is what's worse with that is my kids were little. My wife, she's distressed. She's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's raining cats and dogs. And the kids are like, oh, they slept through it. They were fine. It was the youth that were driving me crazy. But we got through that night. That was the closest to the roof coming in. But in this instance in Mark, it wasn't rain. It was a stretcher coming down from the roof in that house in Capernaum. And that's when we get our next surprise. Look at verse 5 with me. Look at what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I can imagine that when that happened, the room just kind of fell silent. It's like when Ruthie shows up and maybe she has a double portion of her flan and you go, oh. If you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. That's right. You're so overwhelmed that there's no response to what just happens in the room. Son, your sins are forgiven. A man coming out of the roof, down from the roof, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Here is a man with a debilitating situation in his life. He has a medical condition and he can't walk. He is paralyzed. And does Jesus heal him? No. Instead, Jesus does what typical Christians do. He starts going on about sin. Sin, sin, sin. How awkward, right? If we could just get him to Jesus, we've been hearing about miracles that Jesus has been doing. We know that Jesus is healing people. We're going to get him to Jesus so Jesus will heal our friend. And instead, he's lowered from the roof, and Jesus sees their faith, and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. No healing. How insensitive. I mean, doesn't Jesus see that the man is paralyzed? What do you think? That's the whole point of the story. That's the whole point of this biblical account that we're looking at right here. You see, what Jesus is saying to this paralyzed man, when he sees him coming down, he says, you know what? You've got a bigger problem than the fact that you can't walk. You got a bigger problem than the fact that your legs don't work. You've got a bigger problem that is more important than you being able to get up and take your mat and go home. I want you to just realize something. That's our problem too. That's our problem too. Picture yourself on that stretcher with your wrecked finances, with your damaged marriage, with that career woe that you have. If I could just get the next promotion. Maybe your finances are just falling apart. You're like, man, I don't have anything in the bank account. Whatever it is, Jesus looks at you and he says to you, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Well, that doesn't solve my problem. And your first thought when you hear this is you're probably going, sin? What sin? What have I done wrong? We all get defensive, let's be honest. And if you're lying and saying you don't, you're defensive. And this is one of the things that people misunderstand about God. We think that sin, we think that evil only matters when the police get involved. It only matters, you know, when you get caught. It only matters when it's murder or rape or if you're stealing or if you're doing something really bad. That's the only time that it really matters. But I got news for you this morning. Everybody here, do I have your attention? Will you give me your attention? Everything matters in the eyes of God. Everything matters in the eyes of God. Everything that we do matters. And every time we ignore the God who made us, every time that we fail to love our neighbors, every time that we, no matter how big or small it is, every time that we overlook what God is doing or what he wants us to do, it matters to God, big, small, whatever it might be. In James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Whoever keeps the whole law," listen to this, "but fails in one point, has become guilty of all." Ooh. Thank God for Jesus. But do you see the point? It all matters to God. And the reason it matters is not because God is a vindictive God. It doesn't matter because God is just a mean God in heaven going, "I just can't wait to zap them and get them in trouble." You know why it matters to God? Because it puts a barrier between us and God. Because it puts a wall between us and God. That's why it matters. He's not trying to get you in trouble. He wants to know you. He wants to be with you. But when we sin and we ignore the biggest problem that we have, we put a wall between God. And I tell you right now, if we don't have it right with God, then everything else isn't right either. We build walls, listen, to break relationships. And each of us, whether intentionally or not, has built a wall of sin that cuts us off from God. And as a result, you know what that does? It cuts us off from hope and life in this life and in the next. And that's why Jesus' biggest concern for that paralyzed man when he came out of the roof and he saw their faith of trying to get him with him. And Jesus' biggest concern for us too is to deal with the barrier, is to deal with the wall. That's our biggest problem. That's our biggest need. That's why we go on so much about sin, because it creates a wall. It's not because, man, you're so bad and you did this and we want to pick on you. It's because it separates us from our God, who longs to have relationship with us and longs for us to have relationship with each other because we have relationship with him. That, my friends, is the single biggest and most exciting thing that Jesus came to give us, the gift of a new beginning. The old is gone, the new has come. We are new creations. That's what the word says. It gives us a new beginning when that wall comes down with our Heavenly Father. And we become adopted sons and daughters. That's why Mark's one sentence summary of Jesus' message isn't, "Go out and do social action and justice." It's not, "Go out and knock it out for me." You know, those things might be important in certain context, but before Jesus, they're not. You see, our greatest need is forgiveness of sin. And Jesus came to do that for us. He says, first of all, in Mark 1:15, he says, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Repent and believe the good news." Good news. Jesus has come to tear down the wall. He came to give us the gift of a new beginning. And it was paid for by his own life. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And it was given freely on the cross. Can you imagine that? Man, we struggle in this life. Man, I'm sorry. I get emotional. God's word is just hitting hard this morning. But we struggle in life, man, to say I'm sorry to other people. But Jesus came and gave his life willingly for us. And some 2,000 years ago, before, obviously God knows everything about us before we were. We know that. Amen. But Jesus is on the cross, and he knows that most of the world from that time till now and in the future would reject him, and he still died on the cross. He still died on the cross. My friends, that's love. And he came to do that so that we would no longer have barriers between us and God. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now that takes us to the second point. There are teachers of the law in the room. Any teachers in here today? Any teachers? I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got another one hiding in the other room. Any teachers? Come on, I got more. I know I do. You have kids, you're a teacher. Well, in Jesus' day, the teachers of the law are like OSHA. Anybody familiar with OSHA? OSHA comes in and they change everything, right? When you have a business, like, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. They give you a list and you're like, oh my gosh, you know? Remember those days? I didn't like them. Still don't. Because they tell you to do all this unnecessary stuff a lot of times too, right? And so think of this. Those teachers of the law are OSHA of the law. They've come down from Jerusalem to see if Jesus is teaching to their standard. And you can tell from their reaction, what's this fellow doing? What did he just say? That they're thinking that Jesus is off message, right? They say, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive but God alone? And so in OSHA's terms, that's like Jesus wasn't wearing the right helmet. He wasn't wearing the right shoes. This fellow's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? And you know what? They sort of got a point. They sort of got a point. How can Jesus forgive sin? After all, God is the one who's offended by our sin, right? God is offended by our sin. So how can Jesus forgive people for offending God? Well, let's think about that for a second. He can't, can he? Unless, and this is why they call it blasphemy, unless Jesus is subtly dropping a hint about who he is. He's claiming to be God. And sometimes people will say that Jesus never claimed to be God, but he did. Lots of times. He just never said it in so many words because we tend to kill people for that, right? That's what they do, stone them. And there's an example in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus tells the crowd, I and the Father are one. He says, if you see me, you see him. And if I speak, I say what he wants me to say. And in that particular account in John, they tried to stone him. And he asked them, why are you trying to stone him? Why are you doing this? And they replied, for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claiming to be God. And this is what's going on in Capernaum too. Right here in this room, in Simon Peter's house with the roof tore out, Jesus is being accused of blasphemy for claiming to be God. And then Jesus does something, to prove their point. In verse 8, look at it with me. He says, why are you thinking these things?
Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, hey, get up, take your mat and walk? Well, surely it's easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven, than to say, get up and walk, right? That's easier to say because that's, to them, intangible. And let's face it, how can you challenge that statement? But this is what Jesus does with every room, everyone in view, watching what's going on. Look at verse 10. Look what he does here. But you, that you may know the Son of Man, that was the title that he often gave himself. Charlie kind of gave you a heads up on that last week, so go back to last week's sermon, and he'll explain it in greater detail. Okay, right? He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. You know what it says in the next sentence? The paralytic got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. I don't know about you. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen the faces of the teachers of the law at that very moment? I can imagine that they were probably stricken with a severe case of slack jaw. Right? They're shocked not just because of the miracle, but because, you ready for this? The logic of Jesus' argument now. You see it? Do you see it? If Jesus can heal a man, he can forgive a man. And if Jesus can forgive a man, he can heal a man. Amen. And if he can forgive that man's sin, well then, my friends, they're standing in the room in the presence of God. Woo! Is that exciting? So what does that mean for us today? I got news for you. This is good news. Two things. Number one, and this is huge. It's a reminder, my friends, let me tell you, that the president, Congress, Senate, the governor, nobody, not even you, point to yourself, not even you has any authority over us. No one. It's Christ, who is God, and who is therefore our King. Oh man, you guys are in trouble. It is Jesus who is ultimately in charge of us. If you don't like that, too bad. He's the one who ultimately decides what is best for us. Number two. Second thing, well, you're not going to like this. This means that the biggest problem that I asked you about earlier, what is it, that one thing that if fixed would change everything? Well, that biggest problem that you thought, that you came up with in your mind earlier, well, that isn't your biggest problem. It's not. You see, our biggest problem in the eyes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords isn't work, isn't money, isn't relationship, isn't sickness, isn't our career, it's not our broken relationship with other people, it's our broken relationship with God. That's what it is. And Jesus came to fix it. He alone fixes it. There is no other name by which we are saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He came to fix it, and that changes everything. That changes everything. And this morning, that's your biggest problem. And Jesus longs to look at every person that can see me right now, can hear me right now. He longs to tell you, son, daughters, your sins are forgiven. That's our biggest problem. That's our biggest problem. And this morning, will you pray with me? I just ask you to,
examine your life. Be introspective at this moment and just say, you know what? I'm hearing what he's saying, and I thought that this issue was my biggest problem. I thought that if I fix this, it would fix everything else. But just like that paralytic, man, Jesus sees me, and he's not concerned with those other things. He's concerned with my relationship with him. He's concerned with the walls that I have placed in my life that keep me from living that life that he talks about in John 10:10 when he says, I have come, I am here so that you may have life and life to the full, to abundant, to overflowing. He longs for us to have that, but it's only through him. And to be clear, when I read that, when I say that verse to you, John 10:10, it's not about this life. It's not about living life to the full, having money and just running around like throwing cash in the air and stuff like that. No, it's about having life to the fullest in Jesus. That's where freedom is. In Galatians 5:1, he says this, it is for freedom that I have come to set you free. That's what he wants for you and for me. And like that paralytic, all I can think about is Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, seek my kingdom and my righteousness first, and the rest is gravy. And so what that means is sin. He looked at that man, he saw his sins, he said, your greatest need is not that you're paralyzed. Your greatest need is that there is a wall between you and me, son. Because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. And then he's healed. Now, there's no guarantee that you're going to get what you want or it's going to work out that way in your life in that situation. But you want, if Jesus is your life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He longs to fix that broken relationship so that your life would be full with him. Is it? Is it this morning? What's broken? What's broken? I implore you as we pray. I implore you as we pray, examine your heart. Is there a wall? Because I promise you, Jesus is not mad at you. I promise you, he's not out to get you. He's out to love you. He's out to change your life. And he longs to look at you and go, I want you just to, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And the good news is that he wants to right what is wrong. So pray with me. Examine yourself and may God move in our lives this morning. Father, I just thank you for this word. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed by your word this morning, Lord God. I pray for everyone in this room that at the moment, Lord God, they would examine their heart. And they would think about that big problem that they think is just going to, if it were fixed, would take care of everything. But it's not that problem. It's a wrong relationship with you. It's a wall that keeps us separated from me. Forgive me. If we would just say, help me, forgive me, I repent, I believe, and you long to say, your sins are forgiven. You do that work in someone's life this morning, Lord God, and change them forever because you're the one that can do it. Your kingdom is at hand. Your kingdom is at hand. You alone are the one, Lord God, who can do the work. May we submit and yield so that we would experience the goodness of God in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm so full. This is why This is why we plant churches. This is why we plant churches. This is why church planting is so important. You see, I believe, we believe as a church, and this is the first time you hear and you're hearing this from, you're going to know that we are a church that plants churches, because I believe that church planting is the best way to reach those who are far from God. It is. You see, we've established this morning that sin is our biggest problem. Sin separates us from God. And we've established that Jesus is the answer to the biggest problem that we have. Amen? And church planting is the best way to expose those who are far from God to Jesus. This is why we believe church planting is such a big deal. This is why I serve the way that I serve planters throughout the state of North Carolina. That's why I'm part of Send and See. That's why I work with Send and See, because that's my heart's desire. Not only do I want to lead a church, but I want to be a person who's involved in furthering the kingdom of God. So this is why we are a church that plants churches. We want to be a church that reflects those men who carried that paralytic up on the roof and tore the roof apart and lowered him into the room of Jesus. We want to be that kind of church. You know what that is? That's a church that will do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. Whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. Team, come on up. See, those paralytics, those men who were carrying that paralytic, they knew, listen to me, they knew that if they could get him to Jesus, listen to what I'm telling you, it would change everything. It would change everything. They had to find a way, anyway, to get him to Jesus. We desire to be that kind of church. A church that will do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. A church that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches, that brings people to Jesus, that do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. Listen, no matter the obstacle, whether that's a roof or a wall. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be hosting churches from across the state, church planters, to bring God's word to us. And we're serious about this. Week one, we got pictures. Let me show you. Week one, we're going to bring Justin Bolden from Charlotte. This man has a desire to reach people where they are. He is doing what they call apartment life. He's reaching people in apartments, and they're doing community in the apartments, and that's the kind of church he's planning. He's different, but you know what? He's reaching people where they are. Isn't that what Jesus did? Week two, we got Andrew Browder. Andrew and Morgan are in Elizabeth City, right? 4 hours away from us, working at the university there, trying to reach students with the gospel. They're planning Redemption City Church this fall. I love this guy. He's led worship here before. If you've been here, he's going to be here week two. Then we know KJ Ellington and his wife Sharon and their kids, our church plant in Avon, North Carolina, sent them a couple years ago. He's been on the ground working organically to reach people there, and they're meeting, guess where, in a firehouse right now on Tuesday nights, and they're going to be here on week three. Can't wait to see KJ. It's been a while since we've seen KJ and his team. Week four, we got Jonathan and Britt Taylor and their kids who are coming. I love this man and his wife. They have a special place in Charlie and I's heart. We're praying, man, that he'll come and be part of our church as a resident for 12 to 18 months. We're praying about it. We'll see what happens. But he's going to come and speak on June 30th. His goal is to plant in Tarboro. They haven't planted yet. They're on the ground doing things. But we're hoping to have some more hands-on with him. But I love this man and his heart and what he wants God to do. Week five, we got our church plant in Washington, North Carolina. Mercy Washington, Brad and Mandy Knox are going to be here. I called them and said they launched last October. Guess where they're meeting? They're meeting at a pirate port in Washington, North Carolina. You know what pirate port is? Like a gym where you get the bouncy houses and stuff. Meeting people where they are. They've been doing that since last October, and God's moving in what they're doing. I can't wait till he comes and shares his word and what God is doing there in Washington. Week six, Lincoln Hobson. Lincoln was here a couple, 3 weeks ago.
and his wife. I love Lincoln. He's planting in East Bend, North Carolina, which is close to the mountains, right near Boonville, if you're familiar with that area. And Lincoln is got a great heart, man. I love this guy. Been working with him now for about a year and looking forward to what God's going to be doing. He's going to be here on week 6. And week 7, I'm excited about this. Close it all out. Antoine Lassiter, who I work with at Ascendancy. He's the founder of Think Kingdom Church in Kannapolis, but he's also a church planting catalyst like I am from North Carolina. He's a dear friend. I love him. And he can bring the word. He can bring the word. And I'm excited about him coming on week 7. And you never know. It may just turn into some sort of church planting revival. We may have more guys coming. I don't know. We're going to see what the Lord does. But that's what we've got planned right now. We're excited about what God is doing in North Carolina. And I'm excited that this church has something to do with it. I'm so excited. Let me tell you something. Last year, this is how committed we are. You know, people go, you mean a gym? God will provide a building for us when the time is right. Okay? I believe that. We want to be where the people are, but we also want to be on mission. We don't want to be a church about maintenance. There's a big difference. You with me? And because what we do and the way that we do it, you know, last year we were able to give, like, what was it, $80,000 away just to church planting. Just to church planting. That's with support that comes in from Send Network and Send and See, but what we also give to them comes through us, and we send it to our planters. That's not on top of what we give to missions. We are a church that gives. We have a culture of generosity here. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you give or not. We're going to give. We trust God. But we give to set an example of people giving too. Amen? That's where our budget goes, is for the furthering of the kingdom of God. And you have part of that. And I encourage you, come back over the next 7 weeks. Come back and be with us. See what God is doing throughout North Carolina. Hear these men and support them. Invite somebody to come with you. And let's be part of this bigger mission. Let's join God in what He is already doing. Amen? Are you excited? Please, please come and support these men. We're going to love them. They're going to probably come in. Justin's going to come in on Friday, I think, Saturday. We're going to love on him and spend the weekend with him. And if you want to get to meet him before that, we may do that, overwhelm him. He'll like that. But we're going to love these guys when they come in here. So join me in doing that and be part of what God is doing in North Carolina as we plant churches that plant churches that plant churches for the furthering of the kingdom of God and for the good of His name's sake. Amen? Amen. Have we had church today? Before we have announcements, we're going to do one more song. We're going to do Thank You, Jesus again for the blood. So if you would stand with us, let's worship together. Let's give God our very best this morning because Jesus has come to set us free. Amen?